Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are both raising massive amounts of money, and though John McCain raised less than his opponents, he is also collecting millions. So this week we are tracing some of the money back to its source. Today we'll focus on some donors that have an economic interest in the outcome of every election. Corporations and unions cannot give money directly to presidential candidates, but their employees or members can. And Massey Rich of the Center for Responsive Politics has been tracking who gives. If we're talking about large groups like corporations and unions, who's giving the most money?
When you look at it on an industry scale, broadly, lawyers and law firms are the number one giver in the presidential race, and that's something we've seen election after election. That doesn't change a whole lot. And then they're followed, actually, by a bunch of individuals who are retired.
But these guys are giving more than ExxonMobil or name your industry, name your company?
Yeah. The oil and gas industry is a big giver, but people would be surprised to know that there are a lot of other bigger givers. College professors, the education industry, for example, gives more than oil and gas, more than pharmaceuticals, more than electric utilities, and that's mostly individuals who work in higher education, and they're about as Democratic as the oil industry is Republican.
But if you're a corporation, can you write a check from the corporate treasury that goes to anybody?
No, you can. I think that's a misperception that a lot of people have, that corporations just can't simply write checks to candidates. They can form political action committees, which are sort of like the mutual funds of politics. You, as the employee of the corporation, are asked to give to the PAC. You believe in the general investment direction of it, but you don't get to decide where the money goes. The corporation, the PAC, decides that. Unions have PACs. Ideological groups, like environmental groups, gun rights groups, they also have PACs.
Isn't it the case that a lot of those individual contributions, what look like individual contributions, they're almost like an improvised political action committee, because one person holds a fundraiser, calls their friends, they get $100,000 in contributions, $200,000 in contributions, and shove it to some candidate.
What you're describing is what's commonly called bundling. And that's what we specialize in tracking on opensecrets.org, our website, where we add people up by company. So you can see that Goldman Sachs is the largest corporate contributor based on contributions from employees of Goldman Sachs. They've given more than $1.5 million to the presidential race. And if you look at the top 10 list, it reads like Yellow Pages for Wall Street. I mean, it is one investment firm after another, and then eventually you get down into some of the major law firms in our country who are big givers.
Any other big givers come to mind?
Real estate's a big giver. Health professionals, your doctors, your nurses, the entertainment industry, banks, computer industry. Within those top giving industries, I think about 15 of the top 20 are favoring Democrats, which is a big shift.
They're covering their bases.
They are. It's important that they have access to whoever is going to be leading our country.
Where do labor unions fit into all this?
Labor unions are way down the list. They're giving money through their political action committees, and it doesn't amount to a whole lot to the candidates directly. But remember back to the Nevada caucuses, and there was a big anticipation of who the hotel culinary workers would endorse. And that's the value for a union, is that they have these foot soldiers who can go out and campaign. The amount of money that actually ends up in the candidates' coffers is relatively small.
Forgive me for asking what may seem like an obvious question, but is it any coincidence that all the industries you've named as big givers seem like industries that are in one way directly regulated, funded by, or directly affected by the government?
I don't think that's a coincidence at all. People give money for all sorts of reasons. It can be certainly ideological that they have just an agreement with a candidate on an issue, but we also know that they are looking for access, that they're looking for something in return if their candidate gets elected, and they will, as you mentioned earlier, hedge their bets.
When a corporate executive solicits money from coworkers, colleagues, do you believe those contributions from everybody are entirely voluntary?
I doubt it. I just don't see how everyone who's giving this money feels 100% behind that candidate. In a way, it's not that different from you walking around the office and trying to sell candy bars for your kid's soccer team or something like that. It's not coercion. You know, I don't feel intimidated that I have to give this money. And if I do, that's against the law in campaign finance. But for office karma, it's a pretty good thing if I support, you know, my coworker's soccer team and, you know, it's a high-dollar version of that.
Well, the Girl Scout cookies are awfully good.
They really are. I'm a fan of Thin Mints in particular.
Massey Rich of the Center for Responsive Politics. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
You can see a list of the top 10 industries that contributed to the presidential campaigns and hear more of our conversations in this series by going to npr.org for free.